Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh, it was so close to getting rid of her. So close to getting rid of Jane.
You thought
and
you could.
I failed. I thought, oh man, missed it by that much. I even donated to Paige and
You tried. I thought you were gonna open up with hello, loser.
No, I don't want to do that. How are you, Jane? Let's introduce the panel here. It's a Friday for this roundtable hour. Gene Evans is also here with us this afternoon. Hi, Gene. How are you?
Fantastic.
Well, I think I have the wrong mic on. Here's what happened at the beginning of the show. I'm trying to get Jeff Smith's attention, and I'm having you guys wear headphones, which doesn't always happen because I want to play some audio later. And you must have had the headphones turned up so loud. I'm yelling at you. Jeff,
we all were.
Jeff! And you couldn't hear us.
I played the drums my whole life. So,
so he has no eardrums?
I've only got about 20% hearing.
Wow, you and Rainford can't hear worth a darn. So, well, thank you for coming in and welcome. We're going to have a great discussion. Let's start with the county executive's race and Ms. Duker. Everyone said that you couldn't win. We didn't want to believe it. But look, you got into this thing at the last minute. Somebody needed to challenge Sam Page, and I think you have nothing to be ashamed of.
No, I regret nothing. Great job. Regret nothing. I mean, 100 days. 39,000 people voted for me. The sad part is that he got, 67,000? That's like 10% of registered voters in St. Louis County. I mean, people, they ask for their government they're getting, but I don't think they deserve it. I don't think anybody deserves it, but they've asked for it, because when 10% can decide
I think there's a lot of apathy.
Apathy.
Yeah, outside of, you don't have to focus on that race, but if you just
all
look at the results for
there were more
primary
votes in the county executive race than there was in the U.S. Senate race for Democrats. So, I mean, that's not great. I mean, but I loved it. I wouldn't switch it. It was, meeting the people all over this county was literally one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I would not advise everyone to do it, but I wouldn't have switched a thing. And I don't know that I'll ever do it again. Probably not. But I loved it. And I feel good about it. And the supporters I had were awesome. So how can I complain?
How much do you think my Jane Duker yard sign is going to be worth in a few years? Sell that thing on eBay. It's probably going to be,
you're going to have to pay to have it removed. You're going to net lose.
On the topic, though, of just apathy, I don't know what you can do about it, but here's something that I didn't even know until today, and I don't think it's a good thing at all. So I walked into the building as I was getting ready for the show here, and I saw John Hancock of Hancock and Kelly fame, and John, who's on the other side of the building today doing a show, he said, did you know that in January you're going to have to register as a Republican or a Democrat for the primaries? And I did not know that. That's part of the election bill that passed the legislature. That's ridiculous.
Well, it's like
That's going to hurt turnout even more,
I think.
I agree.
It's going to put everybody in their corner.
It's been a long battle for a lot of grassroots folks who have wanted to have these closed primaries, which they have in states all over the country. They're trying to keep folks who are former Democrats from running for or voting in the opposite primary for, you know, for different reasons. But I think if I had one thing I'd want to change, I'd like to have runoffs, because I think that in some of these races, the U.S. Senate race, for one, it was pretty clear here that Schmidt was the winner because of the margin. But you could have won that race with about 200,000 votes out of a state of 6 million people. So, like, if you have a runoff...
You mean potentially, if things would have turned out a little differently.
Right, but and that's happened before. And some of these Senate races...
These pluralities, yeah.
Six, seven people. So if there's you have to get 50% plus one and you have runoffs, then I think then you have to really run a campaign and have the majority of the people behind you. So that would be my recommendation.
Smith, what do you think about that? Now, I understand, like, the Republicans probably don't want the Democrats sabotaging, maybe even vice versa. But I think by making people register, that's going to hurt turnout even more. I really do. Because a lot of these voters are intimidated even by going in and voting. They don't know what's on the ballot. They don't know that they can only vote for a few things. Maybe they don't have to fill out the whole ballot. I think people don't know that. You'd be surprised at some of the, and I don't want to call it ignorance because it's not fair. People are trying to pay attention. They're doing their best. But that's going to hurt it even further, isn't it?
I think it is. As an example of that, and the fact that even though the four of us in this room, definitely the three of us, we kind of live, eat, breathe, sleep.
Normal people don't.
Politics.
They don't care.
Normal people, I'm going to read you a text thread from my brother. I don't know if he's tuning in right now. He probably isn't, because he doesn't care when I do this, because he doesn't care about politics. He says on election day, give me a list of who to vote for. Me. Well, which primary do you plan to vote in? Him. Well, do I have to pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
See, there's where you lose people, right there.
Yes.
I got a million of those.
Yes, you have to pick him. Well, then I probably won't vote unless there's something important, like against Greitens. So I had to explain to him.
But your brother probably isn't a dumb guy.
I got a million of those texts from people. A million.
He's a smart guy.
My brother
still
was the valedictorian of his high school. He had a 4.0 all through college and all through grad school. He's never made a B in his life. He's a hugely successful financial analyst. And he had no idea about this process.
Yes.
And when we finally talked about it, he said his last comment was, well, you should know the most important topic of the day today is the trade deadline, not the election.
Well, he wasn't wrong about that.
That's
okay,
true.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? I got a million texts like that. And then people are like, well, I want to vote for you. And
I had people tell me that they pulled the ballot. They didn't see your name on it.
Yeah.
They were confused. I'm like, you have to pick a ballot.
I mean, it's you know, and I got a million of those texts. Like, what do I need to do?
You know what else you're going to get over the next year? Gene and I can attest to this.
Yeah.
You're going to get a ton of people in the grocery store, wherever, and they're going to be like, oh, I wanted you to win so bad. I voted for you. And you're going to be like, no.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
Actually, you live in St. Charles, so I know you didn't vote for me.
I mean, isn't that just, like, crazy, though? Like, it's nuts. I'm so glad I did this, though, because, I mean, all this weird stuff, you don't know unless you try.
I had people telling me they were going to vote for me all week, and I was like, well, I'm not running, but thanks.
Jay Duker, Gene Evans, Jeff Smith, all in the studio. Let's segue into the Senate race. Gene, let me get your reaction first and foremost. I think the margin was pretty darn impressive. In fact, I don't know. I didn't do the math the last couple of days with any more final tallies that might have come in, but it Wednesday morning, when I did the math, I'm not good at math, if you would have added Vicky and Greitens, it still would not have equaled the total of Schmidt. So he not only won, but he won by double digits, and he ran up some big numbers, which I think is good.
Well, and I think so prior to this, the knock on Schmidt was that he'd never had a tough race. So he pretty much coasted to his Senate races. I think he was going to run for something, and he changed it to treasurer back in 16, and he won that. But he showed that he could run a campaign, and he knows how to lead a campaign, and his political abilities really came into play. I just got to say this, Mark. You know, I had to be neutral during the primary, but Eric Schmidt's a dear friend of mine and a very good person. When people say he's the same as Eric Greitens, I just want to explode.
What's ridiculous?
It is ridiculous. Yeah. He's a good guy, and we've got a great candidate now running in November.
Well, it was an impressive victory. On the other side, Lucas Kuntz, I think you supported him. I was a little surprised that he fell as short as he did, Jeff. But was that about money from Trudy Bush Valentine? I mean, they spent more money, right?
Yeah, she spent a lot of money at the end there. You know, she entered the race late, right around the time that Jane, you know, entered the race. So he had more of a head start. I thought he kind of had just a unique message. And Democrats are in a pretty tough place in statewide races. We need to try something different. And so I was just kind of interested in whether this kind of hardcore populist you know, message might work. And he wasn't afraid to call out some sacred cows in our own party. You know, he went after Nancy Pelosi for, like, you know, stock trading while she's legislating on this stuff and her husband's making all this money. And, you know, that's something that should probably bother all of us, no matter what party we're in. And
but unfortunately, that kind of talk probably plays better in a general election, not in a primary, right?
I think that's right. And it certainly didn't win him much support among the Democratic establishment. And that's why within like an hour of Scott Sifton, the initial establishment Democratic candidate, withdrawing from the race, Trudy Bush Valentine got into the race because the establishment wasn't looking for someone who was going to say those kind of things. So it was an interesting campaign by him. He raised millions of dollars. He got all over the state. And I think he was a much more compelling and fluent public speaker than Trudy Bush Valentine is. And so, you know, I think Gene's indication there is probably right that Eric Schmidt, as a seasoned, experienced candidate, is probably in very good shape for the general.
I keep saying that, but you know, but then I'm like, okay, this independent guy, he says they're not going anywhere. So if he doesn't go somewhere,
polling indicates that he takes as much away from the Democrat as he does from the Republican. I don't know. It's a factor.
I don't know. I don't know that I agree.
Maybe
with that.
In parts of St. Louis County he does, but in the rest of the Missouri he's just not.
I just don't understand why. I mean, I don't. There's. I don't know. I don't understand.
Mistake by Senator.
He's nothing but a spoiler.
I don't understand it at all either.
It's very simple. If Eric Greitens would have been the nominee, a lot of Republicans would have been like, I can't do that. You know, I can only go so far. I cannot vote for this guy in the fall. Vicky Hartzler being one of them, maybe even certain people in this room right now who used to chair the state Republican Party. But anyway, I think with Schmidt as the nominee, you're not going to see a lot of splintering on the Republican side.
What happens to Greitens?
That's a great question.
So go away.
I've got my own theories. If I had to bet it, I would bet that when Steve Bannon goes to prison, which he's going to likely, maybe for a short time, maybe for a long time. What's that?
He'll be on TV.
He'll
take over the war room. I mean, you know, he's been on that show a couple times a week for the last several months.
He spent a lot of time on it.
And, you know, he's already kind of dabbled in the media and, you know, a lot. And I don't think he has any mainstream publisher is not going to publish another book by him. He used to be a corporate speaker for $40,000 a pop, but any company that tries to bring him in would have to deal with a rebellion from their employees, especially their women employees, I would assume. So I don't think he has a lot of outlets other than this direction he's gone in the last few years to be this ultra MAGA warrior. He's going to have to find some alt-right media job, and Steve Bannon's is about to be open for a while.
Yeah, and but where do you go from there? I mean,
and does that compensate him in a way that he has been compensated in the past?
I'm sure not.
No, that was a
his wife. His wife is going to be taking care of the children like she has been already.
He been living on for the last few years since he left the governor's
I would be curious to know.
Look, I think, you know, during that first race, there was billionaires, probably Michael Gogan, the billionaire from Montana, who literally kept a sex slave in his basement for years. I'm not making this up.
I'm aware of the story.
Yeah. And then there was an extortion plot, and he paid $10 million initially for this woman to keep her mouth shut. So he was hanging out in odd circles, but with some people with extraordinary amounts of money. Maybe those people were keeping him in the lifestyle to which he'd become accustomed. And, you know,
owns the house in Innsbruck? I want to know.
Look, he's still got this, you know, this fitness guru gave him $1 million just a few weeks ago before the end of the race. Did you see that?
Weird. Weird.
So he still has people of huge means who could give him a consulting contract.
My favorite part of the political story this week was that Trump's nickname for him was Whips and Chains. If only I had known that months ago, that would have been valuable. 3:20, it's the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday. Hang in there, gang.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, it's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon. We are joined in the studio by Jane Duker, Gene Evans, former state rep, former executive director of the Missouri GOP, Jeff Smith, former state senator. Just quickly, I want to move on to some of the state races and the implications of that. But we didn't really cover the Eric endorsement, just the endorsement by Trump. And I guess, in retrospect, that could have turned out real bad if he would have just said Greitens on that one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think by that point on Monday night, it was probably too late to make much of a difference. Look, if you're going to endorse somebody, you endorse them a few weeks out at the very least. And then you come in and you do a rally and you give a campaign a couple weeks to build a crowd so that you have a massive rally in St. Louis County and a massive rally in Southwest Missouri. And you give time to buy TV ads highlighting that and to send mail highlighting you in Trump.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't do that, most voters, like we talked about with my brother's text, they're not really tuned in. So it was too late to make too much of a difference. And his dithering ensured that the endorsement ultimately was a nullity.
But, you know, the backstory that if you believe the political story, and I think that a fair amount of that is true, and I've been given a little bit of this on background as well, is that Ron McDaniel seemed to play a huge role because she was even having lunch with him on Monday saying, don't do this for Greitens. You're going to cost us, you know, a lot of money because we're going to have to pour these resources into Missouri if this is a competitive race. So finally, even though he had pressure from Guilfoyle and I guess Donald Trump Jr., he said, I'll just do Eric. I don't know where that came from. There were a couple of people on Twitter apparently that shot it out there as an idea, but ended up being very Trumpian.
I saw it. I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe
it. At first, you mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
At first, I thought
this can't
be real.
Well, because it was silly. I mean, it was absolutely silly.
But it was insignificant.
But when they don't take it down, look, I didn't know at first either. But then when you read the tea leaves beforehand saying, I trust the voters of Missouri, and then when they didn't issue a correction, look, the Greitens camp heads were exploding. They were losing their, you know what, because they're like, no, it's for our guy. It's not for that guy.
Well, they both did. And it was
Greitens did it much worse.
No,
Schmidt absolutely did.
Okay, look,
the president
called both of them, and he didn't tell the other one that he was calling the other one.
Well, he's still a bad boyfriend.
And Ronna McDaniel has a job to win these elections, and she's got two Trump-endorsed candidates that won their primaries in other states in Pennsylvania and Georgia that are struggling right now. And two places where Republicans should win, and because his candidate is not doing well, it looks like we will not win.
Does anything better highlight what a total jackass Donald Trump is
seriously,
than the fact that he would call both of them a few minutes before and tell them he was endorsing them, but omit the slight little detail that he was also endorsing the other Eric?
I'm sorry. That's indefensible. It really
is.
It's
ridiculous.
It really is.
It's just funny.
But, Gene, let me get to some of the other races. Mm-hmm. Mary Elizabeth Coleman wins in that tight race in District 22. In Jeffco, Nick Schroer wins. The Conservative Caucus has a really, really good night. Your thoughts on the statewide results?
Well, I mean, I would tell you that school choice candidates won in races. All the races that Senate races that we played in, we succeeded. So we were anti-Rorta and anti-Tate. And then in those, that's 22 and 26. And then Mary Elizabeth prevailed. She's a school choice supporter. So is Nick Schroer. And in other races, Travis Sitzwater, who we mentioned earlier, and then Curtis Trent down in Southwest Missouri. I think that the thing with the conservative caucus, though, is, you know, two of them are gone. So two of them left. So now they're saying, well, they gained two because four were elected. But two of those four are telling others, including donors, that they're not committed to the conservative caucus. So Mary Elizabeth and Curtis Trent are, you know, have not necessarily said, hey, you know,
they're they're not committing to voting lockstep with the conservative
caucus.
That's right.
So look, I think
the conservative caucus know that?
So I think we should delineate here who we're talking about with the conservative caucus. There are some people whose positions who are card-carrying members of the conservative caucus, but whose positions aren't always super conservative. And there are other people like these new Curtis Trent and Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who I think have conservative track records that are beyond reproach from a primary perspective, but their stylistic, you know, approach is very different. They're not
going to
come and blow up the Senate.
If you look at conservatism, if I put these guys all out there, conservatives that are not part of that caucus, and look at their voting records and the things they support and they stand with, there's not much difference policy-wise.
Of course not.
It's all about style. And I find it hard
to believe. Or tribalism.
Tribal. And I find it hard to believe. I've known Mary Elizabeth. I helped her the first time she ran for office. I just don't see her taking orders from anybody. I mean, she is her own person. So she's definitely very conservative. But stylistically, it's hard for me to see her falling in lockstep and doing what she's told, because that's just not who she is.
Well, and it does remind me a lot of, I mean, frankly, of Democrats. It has a lot of these splinters have nothing to do with principle. They have to do with who's on
style.
My team and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this sort of tribalism where it's identity politics as opposed to actual principle. And I see that splintering on both sides.
And insofar as the conservative caucus had a good night, that may be good for Democrats. Because
it's going to be great for Democrats.
Yeah, because the main thing, the state Senate, as was once said of the federal government, you know, the Senate is the saucer that cools, you know, the hot tea on the House side. And way that Democrats slow things down in the state of Missouri is through the state Senate. Last year, to have someone like Mike Moon taking up day and day and day for the first 2-3 months of session, that only left a little amount of time for conservatives to pass their priority bills. That's why most of them didn't pass. And so Democrats...
Well, and it provides coalitions that we've never seen before. And there are times when I call them the more normal Republicans, you know, teaming up with Democrats to stop the conservative. You have three parties now.
Right.
And which I find... And they're almost evenly split. Which makes, but by the way, I actually think that's great for democracy, because it forces everybody to deal with everybody else and build a coalition, and you don't just get to railroad. And so I actually think that that makes better policy when you have that sort of tension to force people to get together and figure out a way to get along.
Well, I think it's interesting that that Jeff pointed out that the conservative caucus actually helps the Democrats, which is not what I don't believe that's what their goal is. And I think they might
but
be
they
surprised
do.
To hear that. But that's an interesting take.
Gene Evans is here. Jane Duker, Jeff Smith, former state senator. We talked about Jane's unfortunate defeat in the county executive race. But let's talk about Shamed Dogan, who's a state rep who was the Republican candidate. One of the Republican candidates, Catherine Pinner, someone that I believe, Gene, I text you on Tuesday. Who the F is Catherine Pinner? And I did that to a couple of people. They did not know. Jeff, I think that you're onto something. I'm not going to say this is the only reason. This is a little mysterious, but there are people. Look, my own producer, Fred, said that he saw someone in front of him see the name Shamed and be unfamiliar and say, nope, I'm not going with Shamed Dogan. So I'm not saying that everyone who voted for Catherine Pinner did that or that it was racism or bigotry. However, that was a factor. I don't think you can deny that.
I think it was absolutely a factor. I mean, when you have a party base that's been conditioned over the last 6 years by Donald Trump.
I don't think that's a party base. I don't. I think it's just, it's unfortunate.
A lot of primary voters have been conditioned to have some level of xenophobia as a result of Donald Trump's rhetoric. Not just about immigrants, but about any, like a Hispanic judge with a, you know, who ruled against Donald Trump.
So Maya Flores?
So it was because that person was Hispanic, according to Trump, right? And so when you've been fed that for as long as a lot of people have, I'm not shocked that even though Shamed Dogan was a good candidate who had the support of pretty much every Republican elected official in the county, this woman won who literally her neighbors did not know she was on the ballot.
I would challenge you as far as whether he was a good candidate, because I don't think he was a good candidate. I don't think he was going to make a very good general election candidate anyway. I'm not sure she would make a better candidate. But what did he do, by the way? Apparently not much.
He raised a lot of money, which he did not spend. He was running for the general, and he would tell you, he told me, he thinks he maybe he took it for granted.
There have been politicians that have done that over the years.
Here's the thing. Chamette is a moderate. The folks that come out and vote in primaries are not moderates.
Correct.
Jane Duker, mm-hmm. a moderate. The folks that come out.
We were both hoping there was hope for St. Louis County.
Last time I was on the show, I said, you know, when you said people are tired of this, I said, that's true, but they're not showing up on primary
And they didn't
day.
Show up.
And Chamed's been very open about not supporting Donald Trump and being more moderate on things. And so those hardcore Republican voters.
I think it was a combo deal. I think that there were a lot of different factors. Agreed.
I think a lot of moderate Republicans, because I told you that the Senate race, the county executive race had more votes than the Democratic Senate race. And I think I did get some crossover. And yes. I think that that would have taken from
I have many friends who voted for you that pulled a D ballot and voted.
It's a little weird to do punditry about a person who's sitting 5 feet from you, who just ran.
Who's unoffendable, so go ahead.
But honestly, like, you don't win primaries in this day and age, especially against incumbents running from the middle. And that's true on both sides.
Yeah, it is.
So
absolutely.
By the way, Catherine Pinner is going to be a guest on the show in the 5 o'clock hour. Anything else that you want to observe from the elections this week?
The only other thing I would say with regard to these legislative races is ground games were where really mattered. So you see the attacks on TV, or maybe you see it in the mailbox. If someone has come to your door and you've met them, those attacks don't stick. And I know, for example, in Mary Elizabeth's race, not only was she hitting the doors, but she was hitting high-frequency voter doors. Folks who do show up in these primaries in a low-turnout election, the people who show up every time, they had met her. So if somebody mm-hmm. attacked her, they already had an impression of her. And I would say anybody who's running in November— get your ground game going.
Right. There's one factor that you're not including here that I think is necessary. If you look at the percentage of winners that have been on the Reardon Roundtable, two things happen. They win or they go to federal prison, right? There's not a whole lot of
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you saying I'm going to jail? I've been on time every time. Every single time. I do want to make one mention. The highlight of the election day was when I saw that indicted Tony Weaver was up in North County giving out materials
Explain
for Sam
this,
Page.
Jane. Back up a little bit. Explain it.
Gosh. I mean, I just that was sort of like it sort of encompassed everything. Well, Tony Weaver was indicted for, you know, running a kickback scheme out of county government for small business relief funds. And right after he was indicted, but before the indictment became public, Sam Page gave $10,000 to a Tony Weaver controlled PAC. And it was just really heartening to get word that Tony was at a North County precinct giving out materials for Sam Page. And I was like, nothing's changed.
Well, he needed a job. I mean, apparently, lost his job. He needed to work. You can't fault him for that. We're coming back with one more segment of the Reardon Roundtable on this Friday afternoon. Hang in there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon. Jane Duker is here. Gene Evans, who is a former state rep and the former executive director of the state GOP, Jeff Smith, former state senator, kind of wrapping up the week in politics to a certain extent. The primary now behind us. We spent all this time, I mean, months and months and months, really, a couple years, talking about this race. And
hardly
you know,
anybody
now into
came.
The fall.
We had a huge party and nobody came.
Unfortunately. Now, you guys were, the gang was working me here during the break on Scott Fitzpatrick, who won big in a statewide race for auditor. It's a little confusing because Eric Schmidt, what was Eric Schmidt originally?
He was treasurer.
Treasurer. And then he went to be attorney general because he was appointed because Hawley goes to Washington. And then Fitzpatrick is appointed treasurer, right? And then he runs for auditor.
Right.
Right? Because Treasure is not sexy enough. But you're saying strong political future for Scott Fitzpatrick.
Oh, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see now who Parson's got two appointments, right?
Yeah.
After the election, of course, but for Treasurer and AG. So that gives Parson a lot of power.
And who's likely there? What are the names? Do we know? Toss some out there.
Kalina Bruce is a name that's been thrown out for treasurer. She ran unsuccessfully for the congressional seat that Vicky Hartzler vacated, and Parson did something unusual by coming out in a primary for her. Oh. So we know he kind of favors her. For the attorney general's vacancy, I've heard Tim Garrison. He was the former U.S. attorney for the Western District, the western half of Missouri. He's certainly got a lot of experience. I've heard Tony Lutkemeyer, the state senator, the chair of the Judiciary Committee. But in response to your comment about Fitzpatrick, I tried not to say this too loud during the primary because I didn't want to like hurt him in a Republican primary. But he is about the smartest public servant, in the state right now. He's got a ton of integrity. And I think you need somebody with a real independent spirit at the state auditor level, when every other public official statewide is a Republican. You want somebody in there who's going to keep everybody honest. And he would do that without fear or favor, regardless of whose party.
Not that keeping the finances straight in the treasurer's office isn't important, but this is actually an office where you can get some things done and accomplish and root out some bad things in government, right?
You can affect policy.
Absolutely. And, this is somebody who, this is truly why he got involved in public service, was because he saw wasteful bureaucracy at the local level and he wanted something different. And so he got involved and as budget chair worked on that. But this is kind of the perfect perch for him, I feel like. And I think Gene's worked with him and would agree, the perfect perch for him to go both in state government and local government, school districts around the state, root out waste and try to make sure that money is spent appropriately.
What happened, Gene, in Kansas with the abortion amendment? Thoughts on that? I mean, I've heard a couple of different perspectives, a little bit focused on the wording, but that wasn't even close and maybe a bit of a national surprise. And that's something the Democrats are going to try to use to their advantage.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, I think that to try to parlay this into more favorable results for Democrats in Missouri come November is silly, because if it's a one issue thing, there are a lot of suburban women in particular who would go and vote for this. And it was a yes or no vote. I never was clear.
It was a yes or no vote. And the no vote was what prevailed, I think. Wasn't it?
But it wasn't clear if the yes was a yes or a yes.
Right.
Right. No.
That, I thought
that was confusing.
But I think Gene's central point is a good one, which is we've seen in Missouri over the last several years that a lot of people will go out and vote for Medicaid expansion. They'll go out and vote.
But they're still Republicans.
Against right to work.
Right.
They'll go out and vote for the hike in the minimum wage. There were four or five big ballot issues where the Democratic side won, but then people still voted for Republicans.
Right.
Correct.
Because like nationally, our
brand is not good.
It's not good.
In Missouri.
Yes. And the organization is not good. I mean, we have much better organization at the legislative level. So there is a House legislative group and a Senate legislative group that support their candidates and work very well. And they're well run and well funded. The GOP, although is not as well funded as the Democrat side, they're so fractured and they tend to spread their money around like socialism to all their candidates instead of focusing on the races they can win, which is different. We do it differently on our side. We focus on the races we can win instead of just giving everybody an equal piece of the pie. So there's that. The other thing is, like the things like defund the police and, it's a center right state. Right. So these far progressive ideas don't appeal to people. So a lot of folks who maybe were Democrats, or especially like you look at a lot of labor, is becoming more and more Republican because of some of these extreme views of the far left that come into play in Missouri politics.
Well, that's not just Missouri. We're seeing that nationally. There's no doubt about that.
But I also think, too, look, the Republican Party at the state level is fracturing right down the middle. I mean, that's not getting any better.
What are you talking about?
The Missouri Senate. The Missouri Senate is a hot mess, and everybody
part of the hot mess is gone, right? Bob Onder's gone, so that's part of
but he's been
replaced.
Right
there.
I mean, 95%, if not more, of Republicans or Missourians don't even know anything about that. They know nothing about it.
Exactly.
I understand that, but it does translate into what's passed, and
but it
a lot of that
translate into organization.
I kind of disagree with that. I mean, I was there when I was in Jeff City when the Democrats lost their, you know, 50-year majority. The fractures, it looks so familiar that, you know, when you have those overwhelming majorities for a long time, it fractures. And this is just the beginning of it, and we're seeing it.
And honestly, a lot of this is consultant and money-driven.
Absolutely.
You know, we should all be honest about this. When Democrats had super majorities and the big fights were in the primaries—
There were some Democrats who had and some who didn't, and people break down in the middle. It's not uncommon.
And now that it's becoming a pretty red state, and there's going to be the big fights Republicans have will mostly be in primaries, not in generals, and that will cause more multi-candidate primaries, more consultants getting, because that's where the payday is.
Is primaries.
Kind of fomenting conflict within the primaries. And those conflicts carry out into the legislative process.
No matter what you say.
We watched it last year on the floor of the Senate. So.
Yep.
I wanted to talk about just a couple of things here, and it's hard. I've had trouble all week when I say, I can do it without laughing, the Inflation Reduction Act. I just can't say it without laughing, Gene. Come on, Smith. You don't think this is going to reduce inflation, do you?
So
I'll take that as a no. Thank you.
I think it's the right policy. I think it's the right thing to do. But I think, you know, no, it's probably not going to reduce inflation.
No, it's not.
I mean, but that's what's so funny, because like everybody was screaming and yelling, it's his fault, the gas prices. But as the gas prices go down, oh, don't take credit for gas prices going down. I mean, everybody's trying to like have
Gene,
their
cake and
eat it
too.
Now
she was moving toward the center for this county executive race.
But
no, now she's getting
but the president doesn't control it. I mean, look, do I think that Congress giving out a ton of money had a bad effect on inflation? Absolutely. But there were plenty of Republicans that joined into that. So,
and they didn't say a word while Donald Trump was president.
No, they didn't say a word. So
let's look to the future and not to the past. Here's the deal.
Wait a minute. No, I get to finish. And so, yeah. So, I mean, this idea that somehow, you know, he's now responsible for inflation when Donald Trump wasn't, it's a joke.
There wasn't inflation under Trump.
Well, but he contributed a lot to it. Like his policies and the money going out and inflating and totally flooding the market, they were all part of that. Republicans were a part of that as well.
Well,
so
here's what I would say about that. I think that the Republicans spent way too much money when Donald Trump was president.
Right. These other policies have less
inflation,
of
but what happened the last couple of years certainly did. But your point was,
Gene, that doesn't mean it's okay to continue down that path. I mean, when they wanted to do another stimulus after Trump left office, we were like, okay, the economy seems to be stabilizing. Do we have to keep handing out money? The other thing I would say in this, whatever this bill is called, there are a lot of tax credits and tax breaks around green energy.
Yeah, it's climate change. It's not a bunch of nonsense.
But these are products that only wealthy people can afford. So the guy that's out there working every day is not going to benefit from the fact that the guy that lives in that $500,000 house up the street was able to get a tax credit.
Yeah, we got a guy here, and I like his car, but we were just talking about it. One of our sales guys just bought a Tesla, mm-hmm. right? He's going to be the benefit. He does pretty well for himself. He doesn't need the benefit, but he'll be the benefit.
He has a Tesla.
Yeah.
Right. And so if Democrats continue down this path, I mean, Republicans are becoming more and more the party of working people, and the Democrats are continuing to be the party of the elites and people who don't work. If that continues, Republicans will prevail.
One final topic as we get away from politics, because are the Cardinals in first place right now? I think
they are.
Yes, they are. Not into first place.
Beautiful.
Last night was not looking great. It was 2-2, and then O'Neill had a big monster three-run home run. Paul DeYoung is hitting right now. The Yankees are in town, and this is going to be a special series because it's the Yankees. We got Matt Carpenter coming back here,
Bader.
So that's going to be interesting as well. Bader, I don't know if he'll be on the bench or not because
he probably won't be playing.
He's been hurt, but the Cardinals have an opportunity, even though they got shut out in the Juan Soto sweepstakes, to make a run here in the next couple of months. I'm excited about it. I don't know, you know, we're all baseball fans here. I don't know how passionate, but I'm looking forward to the next few weeks in particular, especially because the Cardinals have crappy teams that they're playing, which probably will backfire on us because we play the Pirates, then we play the Pirates again, then we play the Pirates a few times, I think, between now and the end of the year, which is okay. Anybody want to weigh in on the Cardinals?
Well, Quintana, how do you say it? He looked good.
He looked good last night.
That was a good addition.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that was really nice. And also, it's nice to see these role players who have been, like their roles have been solidified, or they've been elevated a little bit, have really blossomed at least this week. So let's hope that continues, because guys like Newt Barr, O'Neill, and Carlson have to contribute.
Look at Gene bringing the heat here on baseball, and I love that. I really love it, and you're absolutely right. But look, I think Paul, and I said this during spring training because I really had high hopes, and we love our players here. Even Matt Carpenter is going to get a warm welcome, I'm sure. I mean, he's hit 15 home runs, if not more. I don't know if he got one this week. But Paul DeYoung, if Paul DeYoung can heat up and stay hot like this. You got Arenado and Goldschmidt, both MVP candidates, right. And then you toss in the O'Neills and the Nootbaars, and you know Yachty's back now. So there's an opportunity. Will they win 17 games in a row in September? I have no idea, but we're going to try to make a good run and hopefully get in the postseason and win the division. All right, Jane, you're going to hang out, right? What do you have to do? You're not running county
government. Exactly.
Right?
I'm going home to craft. Either this or that.
I'm actually going home to play some softball with friend of the round table, Tracy McCreary, to get her ready to play at Busch Stadium next Monday.
I love that. We'll have fun doing that. Awesome. Gene, great to see you. Is that like a congressional game next week?
It's the Illinois legislators against the Missouri ones.
I have to be there. Can I be there to heckle?
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do.
All right. Heckle? Come on.
On field. Oh, yeah. Heckle. That's what I want. I'm not going to cheer them on. Are you kidding? And I'm talking about heckling both parties and both sides.
It's fun.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.